Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Monday. Hope you're all set after a beautiful weekend of frivolity and fun. And now you get to dial in and talk about the Packers and the fact that there's still a million days until the draft. I kid, because I love the grind. Speaking of the grind, I hope you all check out my conversation with Emery Hunt, a guy who really knows the NFL draft, unlike myself. Great time each and every year connecting with Emery, a guy I have a ton of respect for, have known a very long time. Always great to get his perspective on the draft class as a whole, but also obviously some day three types slash names that Packers fans can look out for during the draft. That just dropped here on the channel. I hope you'll check that out when you get a moment, when you get a chance. Obviously not a ton of news when it comes to the green and gold at the moment, though that could change. Something I've been thinking quite a bit about over the course of the last couple days slash week or so. You know, traditionally, Brian Gutekunst does tend to like and or favor having his roster in a place where he isn't driven by need. I always talk about not being boxed in by need during the draft. And more often than not, Gutekunst has done a really good job of making sure there aren't any glaring holes. Now, obviously, there are always going to be parts of the roster you want to supply more competition for, to use his phrase, and try to bolster the competition in certain rooms, certain parts of the depth chart, etc. But for the most part, more often than not, when the Packers are entering draft weekend, they feel pretty good about the possibility that's already in the building, the idea that they could go out and play that weekend and, you know, basically put a team together and go win a game. Now, that doesn't mean that they're going to go crazy and sign big names and all of a sudden you're going to see lots of big swings at the plate prior to the draft. I know I've seen a lot of conjecture about the Dexter Lawrence news from earlier today, the fact that he's asked out of New York. I don't expect something like that. I don't expect a big swing, so to speak. I do think there are things you can monitor post-draft, especially once the consideration of the comp pick formula comes into fruition, as far as there are guys after May 1st who you could sign that won't count against the comp pick formula. Guys like DJ Reader or Calais Campbell, neither of whom I expect the Packers to take a serious run at, but those are the types of guys that you could see the Packers get in on. Prior to the draft, you have to look at, yeah, are they guys who won't count against the comp pick formula? Are they guys who they could potentially bring in to bolster rooms where they could use a little bit of a competition? And for myself, I think that's two rooms in particular. Interestingly enough, one is probably one that everybody expects, and one's maybe a position that not a whole lot of people would expect. On the obvious side, it's cornerback, right? I think the really obvious thing for the Packers to do here is to be bringing in back in Trevon Diggs. I've been asked a lot about it. It obviously makes a world of sense at the right price. The Packers are not going to pay some ridiculous amount, bring in a veteran who they've already had in the building. They know what he's all about. But I do think that would certainly put them in a much better spot at corner, not having to worry about drafting for need there as much as they probably would, given what their room looks like currently. Although I know Brian keeps talking about how it doesn't need an overhaul and it looks real good. He did point blank say at the combine, it was one of the two rooms that needed more competition, the other being linebacker. But at corner, I don't think there's any question they could use a veteran presence there in addition to Benjamin St. Juice, who they brought in early in free agency, which would help them kind of solidify their room and not force their hand, so to speak, over the course of draft weekend. Now, that's the obvious one. I think the maybe less obvious position that could get addressed prior to the draft is tight end. And I know there's not telling tales out of school here as far as Luke Musgrave being, I'm not going to say a significant disappointment, but certainly a disappointment considered what you were hoping to get out of him when you drafted him a few years ago. Certainly has never seemed to put it together at the NFL level. Now, some of that has been driven by availability or lack thereof. But when he's been given opportunities, he has certainly not made the most of them. You also have Tucker Kraft coming back from a pretty significant injury. I know we were all very excited to see his video that he put up over the weekend. Very exciting to see how he's on track, certainly, to at least contribute early in the season, though you never really know how a guy is going to bounce back after a significant injury. But that's a position where I could see the Packers potentially adding a veteran presence prior to the draft, so they don't have to get some bodies in that room via the draft. They don't have to feel forced making one of those selections. Now, again, these would most likely be guys who have been cut by their respective teams, so they don't count against the comp pick formula. I think Jonnu Smith is a pretty good example here. And I know he's missed time himself, right? Anybody, most guys who are going to be available at this point are, you know, one of two types: ones that have missed a significant amount of time, haven't lived up to their contract, so their team has cut them, and or vets who are out there and they have the opportunity to wait and pick their spot, so to speak. You know, it's very rare that you get a young up-and-coming star in free agency, let alone this late in the game. But those are the types of names that I would think the Packers are still looking at, probably still considering some unfinished business. Now, is it possible they've made these calls and decided, okay, maybe the asking price is too high, or they want to wait till after the draft to do anything? It's entirely possible. I just think, given the history that Brian has operated with right up until this year, it would tend to make me believe that there's still a signing or maybe even two in the cards here over the course of the next couple of weeks. Now, Nagler's never right, so you can mark it down zero, never going to happen, but just something to keep in mind and or look for over the course of these next 2 weeks in particular. Hope you're all doing well. Good to see you all in the comments section. Everybody mixing it up. Hope you're doing great on this Monday afternoon. Before we get going, you guys know I got to give a shout out to our good friends over at ThetaCare. You put your heart into every game. That's why ThetaCare Cardiovascular Care puts everything into yours. They're proud to support the community and Cheesehead TV. Stay game day ready with nationally recognized heart care close to home. Choose ThetaCare Cardiovascular Care. All right, folks, what's on your mind? How we doing? Got a bunch of folks lining up here. Mike Witt, good to see you, buddy. Howdy, Nags. Happy anniversary to Reggie White signing with the Packers. 33 years. Remember it like it was yesterday. Where were you, Nags, when you found out we signed him? I was with my dad, actually, at home. And I remember it was on the news, the 5 o'clock news, so to speak. And we were all, yes, very excited. I remember my mother rolling her eyes and telling us we were silly. But my dad and I were very excited. 33 years. That's crazy. Just the other day, we had the 50-year reunion of Lynn Dickey being introduced to the Green Bay media. Packers legends, each and every one. Also, Mike, thank you, sir. Bring back Jair. I'd be shocked. Let's just say that. I know there's been a lot of kind of innuendo and rumor around the possibility of Jair returning because he did put some stuff up on social media. But man, not only would it take some papering over of cracks in that relationship between the team and Jair from his first go around, but also don't forget the Eagles own his rights, which, yeah, potentially could be traversed, but I would be very, very surprised if the Packers went down that road. Again, never say never. Not saying it's impossible, but feels like that's much more of a social media possibility than a real possibility. Let's put it that way. Brody, how are you, man? Positions of perceived need that you feel okay about? Well, that's an interesting question. I don't know. I think the internet's doing a pretty good job on this one. I think, you know, people are talking about most of the usual suspects: defensive tackle, cornerback, and both of those make sense to me. I know people maybe bristle a little bit at the idea of the Packers taking a wide receiver simply because they took two last year. But given where their room stands at the moment, contract-wise, guys rising and falling as far as their production, etc., yeah, it wouldn't shock me to see a selection, a wide receiver selected in the draft this season in a couple weeks here. And then offensive line is one that gets talked about all the time. And you saw how terrible they were along their offensive front last season. So, yeah, I don't know. This year feels like the consensus is pretty on point. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if any of those ended up being positions that the Packers look at in this draft. And I think for good reason. Now, again, this is what I was talking about at the top of the stream. You don't want to be driven by need. like, obviously you're always trying to get better. You're trying to add good players, players to provide competition. It's a long-term investment, as Brian keeps repeating into a microphone any chance he gets. But at the same point, you do understand that these guys are going to have to step in, hopefully sooner rather than later. And usually that's because there's an opening or there's a guy flagging as far as he needs competition, right? So, yeah, man, I don't know. It's hard to say that the, quote, perceived needs, they aren't actual needs. I think, again, for the most part, and it's not the case every offseason, but, yeah, this year I think it's pretty on point. That's just me. Soder, how you doing? Thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. Favorite non-Super Bowl Packer season? Eileen, 2003. Amon Green ran the ball, the hell out of the ball, just run the damn ball in OT, Brett. Had to bring up the last point, didn't you? Yeah, that 2003 season was insanely fun. It was crazy, too, because Brett, broke his thumb middle of the season? They were running the ball, and everyone knew they were going to run the ball, and it didn't matter. Teams were literally calling out which way the play was going to go in the run game prior to the snap of the ball, and they were still gaining 7-8 yards. Kevin Berry, U71 jumbo package. Also, 2003 owns a special place in my heart because that was the 1 year I won our fantasy football championship. And I won it on a Tony Fisher touchdown, I believe. Amon Green was my lead back that year, though. Great year. Great year. But as far as my favorite non-Super Bowl year, I don't know, man. 2016 was pretty phenomenal. You know, obviously they ran out of gas there in Atlanta, but that whole run, the dichotomy of the early part of the season coupled with Aaron Rodgers playing absolutely out of his fucking mind the second half of that year, the, you know, absolute insanity that was Rodgers' play over the, you know, mostly like 8-9 games of the year. That was pretty special. That was pretty outstanding. Another one that comes to mind, and it feels weird to say it, but it's the strike year, the 83 year, when the Packers got to the playoffs for the first time in my life. You know, that Cardinals playoff game, listening on the radio, which I had to do, was pretty special. I remember jumping up and down in my bed when the Packers scored a touchdown in the playoffs because I couldn't believe it was happening. Good times, man. Good times. Celestial Prophet, thanks for becoming a Care of the G Club member. Greatly appreciate the support. Thank you so much. Joe, what's going on, brother? I wonder if Diggs did something that guarantees he won't be back with the Packers, played one snap in the playoff game and was cut 10 days later. I don't think it was anything outside of his salary that was slated to, you know, be significant. That contract was never going to be one that the Packers are going to keep on the books, and they were most likely doing him a favor, letting him get to market. Now, no team has taken advantage of that fact, but I don't know, man. Feels like we would have gotten some kind of indication if that were the case. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's unlikely. Let's say that. I think there's a chance he's back, but we'll see. AK Bunny, how you doing? Thanks for the super chat. Hey, Nags, how do you feel about positions like tight end and running back? Also, the Bears still suck. Go Pack, go, baby. I think running back is something that you'll see addressed in the draft late. Although, hell, with Brian Gutekunst, watch him take a running back at 52. I don't know. But, yes, I think that's a room that certainly needs another body, another slash piece of competition. I would be surprised if they put a significant, you know, price tag on that asset, but I do think you're going to need at least one more back in the mix. I can't imagine they just roll into 2026 with Josh Jacobs, Chris Brooks, and pray for Marshawn Lloyd to stay on the field. Now, obviously, they'll have other guys in the building, undrafted free agents, guys on the practice squad, and things of that nature. But, yeah, I'd be surprised if they don't take one on day three. I think there's a very real possibility. As for tight end, that's what I was talking about at the top, man. I do think that is what, you know, gets talked about as a, quote, sneaky need. But I don't think it's really sneaky because I think it's a need, you know. And I do think given where, again, their contracts are, they're probably going to re-sign, or they want to. They would love to sign Tucker Kraft to an extension, right? But then after that, you've got Musgrave going into the last year of his rookie deal. And, you know, you got some nice players, Josh Wiley, et cetera. But Fitzpatrick's out most likely because of that injury he suffered late in the year. So, yeah, I don't see that that will be off the table. I certainly think there's a possibility they look there in the draft, though, you know, they've certainly gone about finding guys on the waiver wire as free agents, etc., to fill in at that position over the course of the last couple of years since making the two selections of Kraft and Musgrave. So don't think it's something they're going to necessarily reach for, but would definitely make sense if they took a tight end someplace on day three. Now, who knows? Maybe they find one on day two. Maybe there's someone sitting there that the value is too good to pass up, say in the second or third round. It would be a bit surprising, but never say never. But certainly that's a position I think, you know, they'll definitely have their eye on and look to add at some point over the course of the next couple weeks. Celestial Prophet, thanks so much for the support. My wants in order: second corner, third defensive tackle, nose fourth, wide receiver fifth, tight end sixth, running back seventh, corner seventh, quarterback. I know it won't happen in order. I just want what I want. Second corner, third defensive tackle, nose, wide receiver, tight end, running back. Okay, we'll just check off the list. I hear what you're saying, though, man. I love the idea that they could just go down their shopping list and second round, okay, we need that. Third round, okay, need that. But the board doesn't always fall that way. And I know I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, but, you know, if you're sitting there in the second round and you say corner, right? But every corner you have on your board remains there, right? What if they're all like fourth round grades, fourth, fifth, sixth round grades? And there's a, say, what you say, a nose. You have a nose tackle rated like a third round grade, you know, or a defensive tackle, you know, has a third round grade. So now you're sitting there and do I take the fourth round graded corner just because I need a corner and because you said you wanted one in the second? Well, of course not, right? That's where the tiers come into play. And that's some of the stuff that you have to juggle as a GM, right? And of course, that the example I just gave is a pretty extreme one. But there are going to be moments on draft day and during the draft where you're going to have these conversations as a staff and talk about, okay, this guy, that guy, why not, et cetera. And you talk it out somewhat quickly and then you make your decision. Because a lot of that discussion happens prior to the draft, right? So much of that is what this time is about, setting the draft board so that when these decisions have to be made, you've got a decent roadmap already ahead of you. But certainly, there are going to be discussions, no doubt about it. E4, how you doing? What do you do when you're not excited about any draft options when your time arrives? Make a trade and roll the dice on someone? I'm sure GMs have done both. And, you know, you'd have to put them on truth serum to get that out of them. But certainly, if you're not excited, or say what I was just talking about, like you get to a point in the draft where you're about to be or on the clock, let's say everyone you have is rated very similarly. You have the tier where it's all set, but the corners and say the tight ends are all same, hovering around the same grade, right? Well, now you have to have a discussion. A, yeah, let's try and trade back because we can probably get one of these guys if we drop down a few spots and pick up another pick. But if no one's willing to play ball, because it does take two to tango, can't just hit a button that says trade back, right? If you have to, then you have more of these discussions. Well, who do we think fits? Who's going to play right away? What's their trajectory? Who's coming in? How do they project in our system? All of these things that really kind of get sorted out prior to the draft. And then when you get on the clock, if this is the, you know, decision you're faced with, go through the pros and cons real quick, and then Brian makes a call. You know, it's not so much you say roll the dice on someone. I mean, most of this work, like I said, has been done weeks and weeks in advance. So that you know the pros and cons, and you know if you are forced to make that decision, you have reasoning behind it. Mike Witt, thanks again. Me personally, it's between 2003 and 1989 for favorite non-Packers Super Bowl year. Got my Mikowski jersey midseason that year. Great times. Dude, the Mikowski run was magical. Not to put, you know, too fine a moniker on it, but Magic Man was must-see TV. That was a good time to be a Packers fan. Mike, thanks again. And 2014 was really fun, too. Just think about what would have happened if Burnett doesn't slide down with one Seahawk between him and the goal line. We're not talking about that, Mike. What's funny is when Soder posited that question, that was 2014 is the first thing that leaps to mind. But I try not to talk about 2014. To quote Legolas, for me, the grief is still too near. Mike Lake, thanks for the super chat. Nags, could the Packers' tendency to lack cohesion on offense for stretches of games be tied to LaFleur's famous short and efficient practice times? That's a new one. Got to admit, have not heard that, have not thought about it too much. Let's put it in the mix, right? I like this idea, though. It's always great when you guys give me fodder for things to ask coach about when I get back there for training camp. And I love this question. At first kind of thought, like off the top of my head, I it's hard for me to draw a line there, right? Like the idea of, because if they had been on the practice field longer, they would have not gone for stretches where they, you know, weren't able to get a first down or they go three and out or whatever. Yeah. 20 minutes, another half hour on the practice field would have saved that off. Man, I don't know. I get it, though. I get what you're saying as far as, like, maybe it would help as far as, because what do coaches always say, right? It's a lack of execution. Certainly not my play call. And I kid there because I know Matt has certainly taken more ownership of bad play calls than any coach I've ever seen. But, you know, you can say it's a lack of execution. So, oh, what would help with that? More time on the grass, right? But I do think this is somewhat tied to the idea of trying to keep guys healthy. Now, certainly that didn't occur here at the end of the year in 2025. But on balance, during Matt's time in Green Bay, they have done a good job keeping guys fresh, putting them into modes where they're much more cerebral and trying to make sure that their bodies are ready for a long, arduous season. And if they do get injured, they are able to, you know, get the proper rest, recovery, etc., because they aren't out on the field as long. But man, I don't know. It's a good question. I like it. Like I said, I can't wait to ask Matt, and I can't wait for him to punt on it. But that is a good question, Mike. I will say, though, it's not like it's some huge outlier in the league. You know what I mean? Like, that is how many NFL practices are put together and, you know, constructed now. Now, is it the exact same in every building in every city? No, of course not. But, you know, a lot of teams in this modern day and age, they aren't out there for 2+ hours, 3 hours, what have you, like they used to be back in the day, right? That is not what the NFL is anymore. But maybe, you know, the fact that they do way more classwork than they do, you know, spend time on the field, maybe there's something to that. Like I said, it's a good question. Mike, thanks again, buddy. Since we're talking running backs, random Packer, Vince Workman, Packers legend. Absolute Packers legend. Braden, yes. New alternate uniform, 60s, 80s, 90s? I don't know, but I saw that Policy got the whole internet in a buzz about the idea that they will be introducing some variation of an alternate jersey, uniform, what have you, that pays tribute to the fans / owners. I did see a joke. Someone said, you know, you're going to be able to submit your photo and they'll wear it on their patch on their uniform. That would be hilarious. Obviously that won't happen, but that would be very funny. As far as like 60s, 80s, 90s, all I want in this life before I pass away and I'm fertilizing daffodils somewhere, all I want to see in my lifetime is a return to the stripes on the sleeve with the G on the sleeve and the stripes and the number on the side of the pants. That's all I want. I will be happy for the rest of my life when it comes to Packers uniforms if I can just see that one more time in a modern Packers NFL game. That's all I want. I don't think that's hard. I don't think that's too much to ask. No one ever asked me these things, though. Mike, thanks again. How good do you think Eddie Lacy would have been if he wouldn't have eaten himself out of Green Bay? Yeah, he was as good as you saw in 2014, man. He was a real deal. He was outstanding. And I know I get the quip about, quote, eating himself out of Green Bay, but it wasn't just the lack of discipline when it came to his diet. You know, we all remember the incident in Detroit, missing curfew and things like that. Like, there were a couple of different things up in the air there for Eddie at that time. And I do think, you know, if he had been able to be a bit more disciplined overall, yeah, you probably would have had a very productive, lengthy career in Green Bay. But man, you know, he still balled out. He's still a Packers legend. Can't replace that. NA Productions, what's up? I hear DeGuara is still available. Why you got to hurt me? Why I got to come in here and just, like, you know, choose violence? That ain't nice. That ain't cool. That's just uncalled for. Appreciate it. Joe, Blaze Orange camo uniforms? You joke, but who knows, man? Well, you've seen some of the monstrosities that the NFL has approved out there. These last couple of years, there have been some god-awful fucking jerseys and uniforms worn by NFL teams. Can't even imagine the Packers, like, saying, oh, that's too much. Because, you know, the NFL is probably going to say, sure, why not? So, yeah, put it in the ether. Let's see what the NFL does with it. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video. Subscribe to the channel and make sure you pick up your Cheesehead TV 2026 Pro Football Draft Guide. It is out right now. There is a link in the description of this video for you to get your copy of the Cheesehead TV Draft Guide. All sorts of great content around the NFL draft. Tons of feature articles, prospect breakdowns, great stuff each and every year from Jersey Allen Company. Get your copy now, people. Do it. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. Talk to you guys tomorrow. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.